I'm Matthew Petty, and this is Intersection. Orlando's food truck scene is booming, but for how long? The city of Orlando has created a pilot program to regulate where and when mobile food vendors can operate, and some food truck owners are saying the new ordinances are too far-reaching. To talk more about the impact of the pilot program, which took effect in May, I'll speak with food truck owner Chef Bryce Ballard from Fork in the Road, George Markwood from the Pastrami Project, and Dan Pollock, spokesperson from the Central Florida Food Truck Alliance. That's ahead on Intersection. Joining me in the studio from the Pastrami Project is George Markwood. George, you describe yourself as a pastronomer, is that correct?
Yes.
Well, thank you for joining me today. And also from the Fork in the Road food truck is Chef Bryce Belliff. Chef Bryce, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, man.
And also Dan Pollock from the Central Florida Food Truck Alliance. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Well, let me start with you, Dan. The city approved a temporary use permit measure for mobile food vendors like food trucks back in May. Just in a nutshell, what are the provisions of this measure?
Well, it's quite extensive. In May, the mayor and council adopted what they're calling a pilot program for mobile food vending. So it deals with food trucks. It also deals with carts, hot dog carts, and the like. The 7-page document came out and quite honestly shocked many, many people. There's a handful of people who maybe knew about it, but all of a sudden it was thrust upon the world of Orlando. And there are a variety of provisions in there, quite honestly, many of which we find just fine. Mm-hmm. Some of them have reasonable regulation dealing with health and safety issues. Some of the things that we found shocking and quite burdensome dealt with really where in the city the mobile food vendors could operate, more importantly, where they cannot operate. Days of the week they could operate, number of days of the week and so on, and found that they were quite restrictive.
Well, you talked about health and safety just now. There were regulations before, I'm guessing, controlling, the state of your food truck or those kinds of food health and safety issues.
Absolutely. Those regulations do exist, and then we're discussing the differences between responsibilities of the state and then city government. State government, the food truck operators are regulated by the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, Division of Hotels and Restaurants, and they are regulated precisely and exactly in the same way and manner as a brick-and-mortar restaurant is. They're subject to all the same inspections. A person in the kitchen of a truck as well as the kitchen of a brick-and-mortar has what's called a ServSafe certificate or designation, which everyone in the state of Florida has. So those health and safety issues are addressed by state regulation across the board. The city hadn't, in the city code, the city of Orlando had not until now addressed mobile food vending. It just really wasn't something that was in writing. And this part of the issue is that when they decided to do something here, the city staff felt that since the city didn't particularly specifically speak to mobile food vending, it fell into what they call intensive retail. So in their mind, it was no different than if you pulled up a car, opened your trunk, and sold T-shirts out of it. Here, you're pulling up a truck, and you're selling food. Mm-hmm. So they kind of just lumped it all in a catch-all. And, we feel that this is something that, should be looked at differently, and we certainly feel by the demand of the people of Orlando on the incredible outpouring of support we have with, nearing 1,500 fans on Facebook for our Central Florida Food Truck Alliance page that this is something that people want. Mm-hmm. So, we're here to ask the city and what we've been working on is making our voices heard and letting the city know that they need to take another look at this.
Well, I want to ask you, Dan, when does enforcement begin and what can vendors expect when it does?
That's a good question, exactly when enforcement begins. We've heard different ranges of times, ranging from August, September, and October, and ranging from phasing in a sense, to total enforcement across the board. Chief Planner of City of Orlando, in a meeting, told us that we could expect to see that the hot dog carts in the downtown core area of Orange Avenue would be the first thing we'd see removed. So we're really not exactly certain. Everything that in what they're calling the pilot program, the current rules that exist now, currently exist. So at any moment, and we've been told this from day one, that code enforcement would respond to any complaints, but they wouldn't necessarily be proactively enforcing it. Mm-hmm. So at any day. And then what can we expect is, fines in the $100, $150 range for violations, and then up from there for second and subsequent violations.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bryce Baloff, I want to ask you now, you've been on the food truck scene for some time now in Orlando. How long have you been running your food truck?
It'll be 2 years in October that I've been vending mobily in Orlando. I've been operating as a chef in the Orlando market since the late 2000s.
Mm-hmm. And are these regulations, do you see them as particularly onerous? Are they going to have a big impact on your business?
They do. They have an impact on the business of trucks in general, and that's a concern of mine because there are so many of us. When I came out of this business almost 2 years ago, there were four or five trucks. There was a small handful. Now, if you count, there's closer to 70 trucks operating in and out of Orlando on a regular basis, and this does is make it much more difficult for these small businesses to operate and make money for their families.
Having said that, though, would you agree that the city should have something in writing? They should have some kind of code for how food trucks operate. I mean, as Dan mentioned before, there was nothing a while back, and maybe now is the right time for them to think about laying out some rules and regulations because the food truck scene is expanding in Orlando.
Absolutely. I agree that there absolutely should be regulation. Our issues are with particular enforcement of codes and as Dan mentioned, with days of the week or lack of days of the week that we can operate in certain areas and then that further regulation of the actual areas in which we can do business. I feel in some respects we should be treated more like a restaurant. In some respects we should not be treated like a restaurant at all because by that same token, we are not by definition.
Mm-hmm. Well, has there been some kind of informal code of self-enforcement or self-regulation amongst food truck owners up until now?
As far as health and safety is concerned, as Dan mentioned, the state regulates what we can and can't do and how we can and can't serve. And that's always been the code that we follow. And to my knowledge, being in this business for this period of time and then being in hospitality for a much longer period of time, I've been inspected many more times on a food truck than I have in a restaurant capacity just because I am mobile and because I'm an easy target. I'm out in the open. Mm-hmm. We're very strictly regulated in that aspect. And I think that that's appropriate because there are a lot more issues with you being outside and outdoors where there's humidity and heat, and everyone knows that they live in the state of Florida and Orlando, that it's nice for about 2 months out of the year, and the rest it's hot and it's muggy, and mm-hmm. that's an issue with food. So you have to be very careful of that, and that should be very well regulated. But as far as where I can operate and when I can operate and the environmental impacts and the community impacts, those I find inappropriate.
But is there some kind of, and again, sort of back to an idea of some kind of informal code. Say, for example, you sell a certain product from your food truck. You wouldn't want somebody selling exactly the same product to pull up right beside you and open up their doors and say, come on, I've got something of the same sort. I mean, is there some kind of, like, do food truck owners talk to each other and decide where to go from the point of view of who's selling what and at what time?
Sure, there is an informal, code between us. We usually call the other person that handles a certain product and say, hey, I'm looking to do this particular item on my truck. As long as we're not together, is it okay if I do that? Mm-hmm. And that's just good business. I mean, if you look at that in the restaurant industry, you can look at one dish and it's served in 4, 5, 6, 7 different places around town the exact same way. And that's a lot of that's just because that's the product that's fresh and it's available and that's what's out there at the moment. Just treating it in a different way and presenting it to the customer in a different way, that's up to the chef. That's up to the business owner and how they like to do business. But yeah, we definitely, if he's doing pastrami, I'm not doing pastrami that day. I may do pastrami somewhere else at a private event, but that's not my MO. I want to make sure that, we can both offer a variety of things to our customers because nobody wants to walk up and see, okay, all these guys have pizza today. What's my options?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let me ask you, George, you are fairly new to the food truck scene. How long have you had your food truck running?
We've been operational since November of last year.
And what got you into the food truck scene?
What got me into it was I took my wife to an event, one of the very first of the food truck bazaars. We went to it thinking there was going to be 6 trucks there and 500 people and walked up and there was 2,500 people, lines wrapped everywhere, no parking within a half a mile. And I was, little entrepreneurial brain of mine was going, hey, look at this. This looks like fun. And it's where I got started with it.
Do you come from a brick and mortar restaurant background?
I have no restaurant background. I've been an IT guy for 30 years. I happen to just absolutely love the old world deli food and couldn't get it in this town. There was a restaurant here many years ago that closed that made good stuff, and it's long, long gone. And I decided that was something I could do. I have some experience cooking, and certainly not like my friend here, but I'm more of a technician. I recreate the old recipes, and it's worked out very well. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy meeting the people and going out and bringing back those old memories for them.
How do these new regulations impact your business model? Is that going to be really restraining the way you can operate?
There's a lot of different ways that it affects us. The elimination of 90% of this city of Orlando and the virtual total elimination of access to downtown certainly affects where the people go when they want to eat. Either it be a lunch crowd or a dinner or a late night crowd, they generally go to downtown. We're not allowed there. There are other regulations throughout this document that say that you can't do this, you can't go here, you can only go there once a week. Many of the trucks, myself included, partnered with bars where the bar didn't have a kitchen and the patrons wanted food, and it was a great symbiotic relationship that is lost in a couple of places. And it's impacted, as I said earlier, about the trucks being unique. Some of the trucks don't do events. They only partnered with other bars to sell their food, and that relationship is badly hurt within the city of Orlando.
Although it sounds like enforcement is a little bit up in the air at the moment, has there been a chilling effect on food trucks? Are people starting to think twice about setting up and opening up their truck where they might have once before?
I don't know. I'm as many people as I've met and I continue to meet, the market for actually building the truck seems to be fairly strong. In the locations that I'm aware of in town, they don't seem to have any lack of business in putting together trucks.
Matt, I think what you're seeing and what you're going to see as they do start to uniformly enforce these rules is the flight from the city limits. There are, out in Orange County or other municipalities, there are many opportunities for food trucks that exist today. And those municipalities, to the best of my knowledge, have not taken any action in the way the city of Orlando has. What happens a lot in local government is one local government starts something, other ones look at it and say, let's do that. It depends on what their mood is. Maybe other municipalities will welcome them. Problem, where we see the problem is a lot of the food truck operators in our group and people that have, that feel the same way that these gentlemen do, is that, a lot of these guys live here, they built a business here, and they want to serve their community. They want the opportunity to run their business and freely compete, but to serve their community. Gas is expensive. These trucks, use a lot of gas. It's expensive. These are some slim profit margins to be profitable. These guys have to be really adept at, because there are limitations of storage and one day of rain or a couple of bad days of rain could really knock their week or their month off. So driving, all around, Tri-County area or farther is not the business model that some of them choose to employ. Some of them do. Some of these guys like to drive all over. I follow them all on Facebook, and I see that sometime one day they're in Daytona and next weekend they're in Hillsborough. A lot of this is just really about the opportunity for an entrepreneur to start a business, employ themselves, and oftentimes one or two other people. Maybe like in other cities, you have a successful truck, you get a second truck or a third truck, like you see in Los Angeles and Austin and places like that. Mm-hmm. And just give the people the same opportunity to build a business and compete as any other business. So a lot of this is about equity and fairness and competition in the marketplace. I mean, many large intersections you go to have four gas stations, one on each corner. People aren't complaining about that. And in fact, it serves the consumer. The consumer wins when there's competition. And we believe that these rules that the city has put into place, stack the deck against the mobile food.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7. I'm Matthew Petty. I'm speaking with food truck owners Bryce Bella for Fork in the Road and George Markwood from the Pastrami Project, as well as food truck supporter Dan Pollock from the Central Florida Food Truck Alliance. You can join the conversation online on Facebook or Twitter. You can also send us an email at intersection@wmfe.org. Dan, I want to ask, why did they come up with this document? What sparked this, the need for these rules? Or why did they decide now was the time that they want to set this down in writing?
You know, if I knew that answer, you know, I definitely can't speak for the city. You know, there's probably a variety of reasons they did it. I think that if you pay attention to some of the other local issues that are going on with downtown, with noise ordinances, with cafe outside seating for bars and restaurants, the city seems to be you know, taking on a lot of these local issues and ordinances, mm-hmm. and readdressing them. I don't know if we're just part of that. I can't say with any certainty if this is, if, you know, if there are numerous complaints from brick and mortar restaurants about competition. I know that that is an issue, that a theme around the country in other cities that I've read about. I can't say for certain that that's what happened here. Mm-hmm. Why they're doing it, I'm not sure. I've spoken directly to four city commissioners and top staff of the mayor, and you know, each one has a different issue, and most of them are easily addressed. Most of them have to do with health and safety, and most of them have to do with collecting proper taxes and proper licensure, mm-hmm. And any other one that they mention can be worked out. We can all work it out.
Well, Bryce Bellef, let me ask you, from your experience in the Orlando and the Central Florida food scene, do you get the sense that there is some kind of tension or competition between brick and mortar and food trucks, or is it? I mean, food trucks, it seems like we are sort of kind of cresting a wave now, but they haven't really been around that long. So are there teething issues? What's going on there?
Absolutely. I believe that there is. And being on both sides of the coin, I can definitely empathize with the restaurant side. But I feel that the conversation in that respect is inappropriate, because if you put a mobile vendor up against a restaurant, having been on the restaurant side, the restaurant will always win by definition of what it is. I cannot offer, as a mobile vendor, the same type of experience that a restaurant can, and that is an air-conditioned environment where you can sit down in a comfortable place and be served your meal. As a mobile vendor, I can't do that. So if I win as a mobile food vendor because I'm around the block of a restaurant, the reason is purely because of my product, because mm-hmm. the customer wants a better quality product. Now, if a restaurant is complaining that I'm raiding the coffers by being around the corner, why should I be penalized because I'm serving a better product than they are? Because it's the only reason that a customer would come to me and stand in 90-degree heat and 100% humidity on hot flat top, mm-hmm. because my product's better than theirs. So the restaurant need to wake up and start doing something better and actually competing in the marketplace instead of complaining that the food trucks are raiding their coffers, because it's just inappropriate.
So in some ways, are you seeing food trucks shaking up the local dining scene and bringing that spirit of competition and actually making things better from the point of view of people who want good food in Central Florida?
Absolutely. And the customers want it. They're looking for it. They want a gourmet street food culture. They want the culture in Orlando to be away from the, you know, the brick and mortar spaces that are cookie cutter that you see up and down the road. They want them to be more more personal and more entrepreneurial and more heartful, instead of, you know, your Olive Gardens and your Taco Bells and your things of that nature. They're looking for homemade food. Cultures like New York and LA and Atlanta, that where you see you know, people, actual people, you know, growing food and raising a culture of good eats.
Are some of those big companies trying to get into the food truck culture themselves?
Absolutely. I've seen a Taco Bell truck. I've seen a fried fish truck from Long John Silver's. You know, they're absolutely tacking on to the culture, because it's there, it exists, and they can tell that it's viable. As George mentioned earlier, the scene for building trucks has not slowed down at all. And the reason for that is because people in this city, they want it. They're hungry for a mobile food culture.
Mm-hmm. Well, the city said that they met with food truck vendors when they developed this pilot program. Was this the case? Did you meet with them? Did you give them suggestions? What was your experience there?
I have heard of this meeting. I have not been a part of it, and I have yet to speak to anybody who has been. So I know that it, I've been told that it existed, but I was not part of that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, George Markwood, let me ask you, were you part of that conversation? Were you contacted by the city?
No, I was completely blindsided by the ordinance coming into place. I had no idea it was, and I have seen the list of the people who were in it, and there was, I believe, only two truck vendors in the list, maybe three. I can't recall exactly. It was not a representative look at the number of vendors in the city. As a matter of fact, the ordinance starts out by saying there's only 25, and it's off by at least a factor of three.
Mm-hmm.
So it just didn't seem like it was well thought out to me.
Do you think there's a chance for the city to retroactively reach out to food truck vendors now and have those meetings now and tinker with the law?
Oh, absolutely. We're desperately trying to open an honest dialogue with the city, with someone in the city who will talk to us instead of talk at us and allow us to bring everything to the table and talk about it and have a dialogue and work this out. We are not opposed to regulations. All industries are regulated at some level.
Mm-hmm.
We just would like a voice.
Now, you wrote a guest column in the Orlando Sentinel recently advocating the city look to other big cities like Los Angeles for inspiration for their food truck regulations. Do you have a list of cities you think Orlando should be taking as a model for how it goes about regulating the scene?
No, I don't. I don't carry a list around in my pocket of things like that. The fact is that there's a lot of good ordinances out there and a lot of bad ones out there, and they're pretty well known. And you can just go and handpick the little pieces that you like and patch them together and call it an ordinance, or you can sit down and look at the local community and what's important to the local community and put together something that is actually created locally and means something locally and has the endorsement of the people that you're regulating.
Do you think this is an opportunity for other cities on the outskirts of Orlando then to step in and say, look, we're doing something that supports food truck vendors and it's more favorable to them? Do you think we could end up with a situation where if you look at a map, it's kind of like a donut, you have lots of cities?
You already have that.
Right.
You already have that. There are cities that are sitting there saying, come here. We want your business. We want you here. Some of the most fabulous events occur outside of the city of Orlando.
Dan Pollock mentioned something before. He said that for some vendors, it could be a matter of driving many miles to find a viable spot. Is that something you might have to end up doing if these regulations stay put?
I don't have a spot. I do things with other organizations. Some people might call it event-based. But I have, I just committed to go to Tampa at the end of the month. And I'm going to Melbourne in a week or so. And I don't like driving that far. It's atop of the risk of, will anybody show up? Now I'm talking about a lot of fuel because these things don't get good mileage by anybody's stretch. So it's more of a risk. It's a business risk. I understand that. Typically, I will go as far as DeBary, Orange City, or Kissimmee, or around, around the metro area within 25, 30 miles. Some people do go a lot farther. They went to St. Augustine a few weeks ago. It's a long ride.
Well, let me ask you, Dan, the city says the food truck pilot program is a work in progress. Do you think it can be amended and changed at this stage?
Absolutely. It can be changed at any stage. And when this was first thrust upon everybody and the truck operators started to become aware of it, the first thing that we did was, talk to the city and said, hey, we want a seat at the table. Let's get some dialogue going. And we have had dialogue going. Nothing has changed at this point. I think that at some point that there, hopefully there'll be enough communication to elected leaders that they will. I have no problem with it being a pilot program, and I have no problem with them seeing how things go and working on it, keeping in mind that they call it a pilot program, makes it sound kind of, warm and fuzzy, but this carries the weight of an ordinance. I mean, this is enforceable as of last May 20th, once the mayor and council adopted this. This is enforceable. So any food truck operator can get a ticket for $100, $150 if they're not following this properly. So they didn't really build in any type of a grace period till, sometimes when you try things, you just, let's try this and see how it works. But if they do this long enough and they start to uniformly enforce it and trucks either are forced out of business or forced to leave the city, and I think those are your two options. To make a living, you're forced out of your own city or you go out of business. If there's not much of a food truck industry left, what good is 6 or 8 months from now or a year from now making changes to it?
Mm-hmm.
So you know what we were saying when we put this group together is, you know, hold the phone, city, slow down. You know, we understand that you had a meeting with a couple of, you know, a few people at it and representing, you know, different parts of the city and different parts of the food business. But let's just stop this and let's open it up. Just open it up again. Give us a seat at the table. We have been talking to them. But at some point in the near future, and I believe this calendar year, I've been told they plan to adopt a formal ordinance on the books that, you know, to address this. So this is the work we're doing, as much public awareness. I mean, all of your listeners can find our Facebook page at the Central Florida Food Truck Alliance. And we have a website at centralfloridafoodtrucks.org where they can get all the up-to-date information and follow us and, you know, communicate to their elected leaders about what they want to see Orlando mm-hmm. look like.
Well, let me ask you, Bryce, how do you see this playing out? Do you think there's going to be a hopeful or a happy resolution for food truck and mobile food vendors in Central Florida?
At the moment, I'm not that optimistic about the current regulation and the pilot program and that ending well. You know, just the reason for that being that we've had a number of meetings now with, you know, the head of code enforcement and the like, and it just doesn't seem to be going the direction of an open dialogue and there's no concessions being made. It's this is how it is. You're going to have to work this way. So, you know, we need to rally more support and our customers need to come out and really just let the city know that this is what they're looking for. They're hungry for a culture. They want us to succeed and they want to give us their business.
Do you see yourself giving up on a food truck and just going back to full-time brick and mortar if things can't be worked out?
No, not 100%. I love what I do. This definitely is the hardest I've ever worked, being a mobile food vendor and all the jobs that I've had in hospitality. But it's a labor of love. I really enjoy it. And I enjoy the community. You know, in a restaurant, I'm far removed from my customer, where at the window of my food truck, I get instant gratification. I see them, you know, take a bite of what they just ordered and enjoy it. And they can commune with me and speak with me about the experience. Mm-hmm. And that's something I just can't get in a restaurant where there's, you know, a server and a table, you know, keeping me away from that. So I'll always adopt this to my business model, but it may not look like it currently does.
Well, George, let me ask you, are you optimistic or confident that things can be resolved with the city?
Oh, sure. We can straighten it out. Mm-hmm. We just need to sit down at the same table and have an honest discussion.
And a sandwich, perhaps?
Sure, I'll bring them.
I've been speaking to George Marquardt. He's the owner of the Pastrami Project. George, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
Also joining us in the studio, the chef of and owner of Fork in the Road food truck, Bryce Beloff. Thank you, Bryce.
Thanks, Matthew.
And Dan Pollock, who is a food truck supporter and a member of the Central Florida Food Truck Alliance. Dan, thank you for joining us.
And thank you for having us.
The City of Orlando sent the intersection team this statement about its food truck pilot program. The Orlando City Code did not allow for mobile food vending previously. However, the city is embracing the recent popularity of mobile food vending, which has become quite a phenomenon in recent years, not just in Orlando, but in other urban areas in the United States. So, city staff worked with members of the mobile food vending community to establish this new 2-year pilot program to allow mobile food vending in a way that makes it easy for food trucks and carts to operate within certain areas in the city of Orlando. The program went into effect when the city council approved it at the May 20th meeting. As a pilot program, further changes can be made and the program may adjust as it goes. The conversation about what's happening in Florida continues online at wmfe.org/intersection. There you can also sign up for our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners. Brendan Byrne is assistant producer. I'm Matthew Petty. Thanks for listening.